wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all of our sin. Is there anyone's sin so great that it cannot be covered by the eternal grace of our Lord and Savior? No, not one. Amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at the subject moral purity, a vanishing attribute. Paul Borthwick writes the following questions in his book, Leading the Way. In his book, he asks the question with reference to the perplexing dilemma that we are describing and studying in our series on moral purity. He asks the question, are we being desensitized to the present evil world? And of course, the answer is very much yes. And he asks questions as the follows. Do things that once shocked us now pass by us with little notice? Have our sexual ethics slackened even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, he asked the following question. Where do our minds wander when there are no duties to perform? What are we reading? Are there books or magazines or files in our possession that we want no one else to see? What are we renting at the local video store? How many hours do we spend watching TV? How many acts of fornication did we watch on TV last week? How many murders? How many did we watch with our children? The profanity that we have allowed as an unbridled tongue through the television into our own homes in the presence of our children. Have we become desensitized to sin? Then he completes his thoughts by saying, how many chapters of the Bible did we read last week? Have we taken time to be in the Word of God? There were two theological students that were walking down the back streets of London, England. This area of the town was called the White Chapel District of London. It's a section where old and used clothing is sold. One student pointed to a sign that was out on a window, and there was this suit that was hanging on a picture window. And it was right beside a sign that read, slightly soiled, greatly reduced in value. Slightly soiled, greatly reduced in value. Quickly, the seminary student said, you know, that is exactly it. We in the Christian life can get soiled by gazing at a vulgar picture, reading a filthy magazine, or allowing ourselves to meditate on dishonest or lustful thoughts. And when the time comes for our character to be fully appraised, we are greatly reduced in effectiveness and value. We as believers need to be very careful that our purity and strength be maintained, lest we become the shop-worn stock of the world. Even slight deviations from the path of right can greatly reduce our usefulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I would invite us to turn in God's Word to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, where we had read our scripture this morning. We're going to be, again, studying the subject, moral purity, a vanishing attribute. And we're going to be looking at several factors, specifically four observations regarding this matter of moral purity. First of all, number one, we're going to look at the cycle of sexual impurity. There's a cycle that the scriptures speak of. Secondly, we're going to be looking at the cause of sexual impurity. Then thirdly, we're going to be looking at the curse of sexual impurity. And then finally, the cure for sexual impurity. This is going to be just a part one message on this important subject, because as I look at society today, and more of a concern to me, as I look at the professing church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am beginning to see that the world is creeping into the church. You know, I like to go fishing, and as long as the waters are calm, I'm not one of these that likes to go when there are traveler's advisories or anything like that. But, you know, you can have your ship in the sea, but you don't want to have the sea in the ship, do you? And that is exactly what is taking place today. Individuals that have studied the social development of the institution of marriage tell us that even secular studies point 60% of marriages today will end in divorce. And you know, I wish I could say that the statistics would improve in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, in spite of the books which have been written at unprecedented rates, it seems like many of those books are not being read and they are not being heeded by God's people. And of course, the book of books needs to be of priority. Now let's take a look at the cycle of moral impurity. We're going to look at three aspects to the cycle of moral impurity. First of all, if you look at Matthew chapter 15, which is the portion which we have read in its entirety this morning, we're going to focus in on verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 15. I want you to notice the cycle of moral impurity. Number one, impurity originates in the heart. That is where the problem begins. Now, I realize that we, through societal influences and the training of the public school system, have been trained to blame environmentalism, and we've taught individuals that what is necessary today is to change the environment and to provide all types of social funding and education and prevention today. But notice what the Word of God says regarding impurity and its problem. Verse 18 and 19. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. What society needs today is an individual by individual change of the heart. And today, many, many organizations, counselors, psychologists, human behavioralists are trying through behavioral psychology, behavioral modification, to change the environment, and they are not changing the heart. Many counselors themselves do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Their heart has not been changed. You know, the Word of God says that man's heart is totally depraved. Jesus said in verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceed murders. Out of the heart proceed adulterers. Out of the heart proceed fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Man's heart needs to be changed. And you know, an old preacher once said, Jesus Christ didn't come to get man out of the ghetto. He came to get the ghetto out of man. And that is where the problem is. Not long ago, we had that, do I dare use the word preacher, from Chicago, Illinois, by the name of Jesse Jackson, who was standing up with his Rainbow Coalition and his Operation Push and this entire program, and he was counseling with then-President Clinton about his extramarital liaisons when he himself at that very occasion was involved in immorality. And you see, individuals today need to realize, and we all need to realize, that if our heart is not right, we must guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What about your heart? You see, impurity originates in the heart. The Pharisees were giving attention to externalities. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we need as a church to be very careful that we do not equate external behavior with a right heart for God. You know, that's the shortcut, isn't it? You know, we like to see individuals change in the Christian life, but unless we disciple a believer and ground that person in their heart where they have a true heart change and growth and development, we have to be careful, because so often we say, well, just follow this set of do's and don'ts, because we want instant results. We want to see instant conformity so that we will feel more comfortable with them in our worship services, in their appearance and how they act and what they say and where they go. And we need to make sure that we work like the Holy Spirit does, from the inside out, not from the outside in. The Lord says the problem is on the inside. And you know, if you're facing, or if I'm facing, a critical challenge in my life, whatever it may be, instead of following blameology, where we begin to blame all types of externalities for what we're going through, let's take a good look and say, wait a minute, my heart and my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be examined. And the Word of God says here, out of the heart proceed these things in verse 19. So, as far as the cycle of moral impurity, sexual impurity, impurity originates in the heart. But I want you to notice the second observation. Impurity continues. It's the second step after it being in the heart. It continues with non-physical sin. Now, what do I mean by that, non-physical sin? Let me have you turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Matthew 5, verse 27. The problem begins in the heart. Sexual impurity begins in the heart. But then it continues with non-physical sin. In other words, playing with it. Playing with it in your mind. Your heart is where it originates. But notice, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Notice the progression. Ye have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. You know, this is quite a startling statement when you begin to apply it to what individuals are playing with sin about. Did you know that you're guilty of adultery in your heart if you are viewing things on your computer or on a magazine, creating lust towards other women? You're being in your heart unfaithful to your wife, and if you are not married, you are creating a lust that is going to not only destroy your ability to properly think of women on a righteous means, but you're going to fall into a system that looks at women as objects rather than individuals to be loved and to be respected. And Jesus continues, and he says, whosoever looks, has the idea of the gazing on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So you see, impurity begins in the heart, but it continues with non-physical sin, immoral thoughts and lust. But then I want you to turn to James chapter 1, and let's look at the third cycle. And you see, this is actually where Satan wants all of us to go. Actually, cycle number three, phase number three, is where the devil wants you to go, but he knows that he can't get you there on the first step. He knows that he can't get you to fall right away, so therefore he'll begin to whittle on you. He'll begin to work on you. He is patient. The devil is willing to wait and provide for a series of concessions on your part. The concession of not dealing with your heart. The concession of allowing fantasies and thoughts to fester. And you know, when you begin to read the wrong material and look upon the wrong material and watch the wrong material and go to the wrong places, sooner or later you're going to do the things that you have been watching. And that's the third cycle where the devil wants you. And that is this. Impurity not only originates in the heart, continues with non-physical sin, but impurity advances with adultery or fornication. Look at James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Don't you go blaming God. God has given you your physical drive. He has given you a desire for the opposite sex. There's nothing wrong with that. But out of control of the Holy Spirit, it falls under the domination of the devil. It says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Notice, every man is tempted when he is drawn away, notice, of his own lust. There's the origination of the heart, the lust, the internal lust. But notice, and enticed. That Greek word enticed means to be hooked with bait. And the devil is doing that today, isn't he? But notice, here's what I call in verse 15, the LSD of sin. All of us have read about Dr. Timothy Leary and all of the things that he was involved in enticing college students towards experimentation with drugs. Well, look at verse 15. The LSD is this. L stands for lust, S stands for sin, and D stands for death. The LSD. And Satan wants you to drop that acid fast and to absorb it. Notice verse 15. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. In other words, what you watch, you see. Let's take it further. What you have in your heart and what you allow to fester through your reading, through your meditation, through the use of your idle time, through having self on the throne and not obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, it's going to fester and it's going to bring forth sin. Lust, internal, brings forth sin. Sin is the acting out in the final analysis of what you have been reading and seeing. And notice, and when it is finished, it brings forth death. And how many times if I could take the time to share with you individuals that have received terminal effects of their sexual impurity as Christians because they received the recompense of their immorality. And of course, here you even have the concept of those that do not know Christ as Savior, whose lives are bound by this. It certainly is even resulting in spiritual death because they do not know Christ as Savior. So that's the cycle of impurity. It begins in the heart, and then it's entertained in the mind through fantasy and watching and viewing of these things, and then finally it's advanced with actual adultery or fornication. And in counseling, I can say that generally speaking, there has been violations in these areas when this type of activity takes place. Now, let's take a look at the cause. We've seen the cycle of sexual impurity. Let's take a look at the cause of sexual impurity. And we're not going to be able to go deeply into this second section here. But I want us to look at some practical reasons, first of all, for the cause of sexual impurity. There's some practical reasons. Number one, because of spiritual and emotional immaturity. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul claimed, and he spoke to carnal believers, and he said, you know, in the church at Corinth, many of you are walking as men. They were actually walking as unregenerate men. And they were carnal. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Word of God tells us that there are believers that are using milk when they ought to be in the meat of the Word of God. And he says that these believers that use milk, verse 14 of Hebrews 5, it says that they don't have their senses exercised to discern from good and evil. And there are many believers that fall into sexual impurity, number one, because of spiritual and emotional immaturity. Number two, there are individuals that fall into sexual impurity because of unresolved conflicts in the home. At-home problems between couples. Walls that are allowed to be built, violations of the scriptures that we've talked about in previous sermons on communication in the home. Violations, allowing the sun to go down upon one's wrath to the point where walls are built. And after a while, the devil begins to work on one violation of scripture, of pride. And here's a man that says, well, I can't communicate with my wife anymore. And then he goes to the water cooler at work. And there's this lady at the office. Oh, boy, she just looks so beautiful. I mean, she just looks like every hair is in place, you know. And she's at work there. And oh, how they can communicate by the water cooler. And they could just talk about anything. And they're just enjoying their conversation. And the old devil starts whispering in that guy's heart, hey, you remember you left your wife in curlers? And look, boy, look at this girl here. And, of course, you know, he's never seen that girl in curlers, you know. And he forgets that she's at work, and, you know, she spends all of this time, but she gets up at 3:30 in the morning to be by that water cooler at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know. And but the devil starts saying, you know, you sure can talk with her. Oh, you guys can really communicate. Well, you can't communicate with your wife like, and it, everything I'm saying can be switched around to the other direction. Here's a lady that has a husband that's non-communicative and doesn't care to communicate. Their walls built up, and she finds some guy by the coffee pot, and we can really communicate. And the truth of the matter is, there's unreconciled problems at home, and they begin thinking the grass is greener on the other side. Be very, very careful. An unhappy home, violation of biblical principles at home, is the best fertile ground, you see, for immorality, and unresolved conflicts will enhance that. This is why I believe that there needs to be preaching on the home in local churches. The Lord established the home. There are verses in the Word of God that teach us how to guard our hearts. And there must be, in the diet of the preaching of God's Word, a subject on the home. The subjects of the home need to be preached as part, not the only, but certainly part of our diet in the studying of God's Word as a local church. So there's a third reason why, for cause of sexual impurity. Not only spiritual immaturity and unresolved conflicts at home, but thirdly, because of unmet needs at home. And of course, we're familiar with that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Bible tells us that the physical relationship ought to be a normal, frequent relationship between husband and wife, only to be discontinued for prayer and for fasting. And then the Word of God says, do not defraud one from the other. Verse 5, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to prayer and fasting. It doesn't say that the physical relationship is to be used as a tool, to be used against a partner, to teach them and punish them, or until you have your way. But the Word of God says that within marriage, the physical relationship is to be normal and frequent, and come together again that Satan tempt you not. There it is, for your incontinency here. So the Word of God teaches that, the importance, the cause of sexual impurity. Oh, how we need to be cautious about that. Let me just take you to the book of Psalm chapter 1. And I, just as wrapping up this particular concept, how we need to be cautious. That cycle that we've been talking about of sexual impurity and the cause of sexual impurity. Notice what Psalm 1 and verse 1 says. I understand that the teenagers have been studying for some time Psalm 1. Good psalm to study. Verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man, notice now, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, when I talk to young people, and when I talk to us older ones too, I always talk about the succession of those verbs. Notice, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sin, you see, starts by just kind of walking by it and taking a look. But then what happens? Then when we allow ourselves to be ensnared and baited with the hook, no longer do we just walk by it, but now we're standing and we're gazing on it. We're feeding it. We're fantasizing with it. And then before you know it, what's the third verb? You're sitting right in it. What a picture of even Lot in the book of Genesis. And oh, how we need to be careful. The cycle of moral impurity. I'd like to close with a story that illustrates the cycle and the causes for sexual impurity. After a violent storm one night, a large tree, which was over 300 years old, it used to be literally a tourist attraction. This mighty oak tree, a stately giant oak tree. After a storm, it was found laying across Main Street in town. And everyone was so surprised. They saw this stately oak that had been such an area to attract picnickers and bike riders and just a little trail around it, and people used to come and enjoy the shade of this stately oak tree. People spoke of it, wrote of it. It was part of the town history. All of a sudden, in a storm that came through the town, that mighty oak tree just fell right across Main Street in the park, and it was nothing but a splintered stump. But you know, individuals were wondering, well, could the wind have accomplished this? And closer examination revealed that it was rotten at the core. As large as it was rotten at the core because thousands of insects had eaten away at the heart of this particular tree. The weakness of the tree was not brought about by the sudden storm. Everyone thought, oh, the storm brought it down. The storm last night. TV cameras, the storm. No. Actually, the fall of that tree began when one little tiny insect began to be nestled in the midst of its bark. And soon that brought other insects. And that began a slow process of deterioration that brought the tree down. Now, my question to you, as it was to me as I prepared this message, what are those areas? What are those concessions? What are those danger signals that our heart is not right with God? We have the tendency to look at the spectacular, at the end result of, oh, wow, this happened. committed adultery. This happened, a horrible event. And we fail to see that there was a slow wearing down of our walk with God. I don't believe God ever brings anything into our lives that can't be for our good if we're willing to appropriate His power to turn it around. Even direct attacks of the devil, even the horrible trials and testings of life, things that people do to us and injustices and all kinds of things, God can turn them around if our hearts are right with God. And we are willing to say, Lord, I'm giving this to You. I'm going to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to respond the way You would have me to. But you know, when we begin to fail to practice what Proverbs 4:17 says, guard your heart with all diligence. You know, I'm convinced that the most terrible events, the worst decisions that we can make in life are not often the big decisions that come our way. Your life and my life is molded on a day-to-day basis, determined by how we use our idle time, what we meditate upon, what we choose to do when we first get out of bed in the morning. Give the day to the Lord or go about our own scheduled agenda. It's the little bugs on a daily basis that will cause the course of your destiny or destruction to be affected. Oh, may we not only make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives in big decisions, but in the everyday routine decisions, because that is what's going to determine where we wind up. So let's be so careful. Let's continue as we go on in the coming weeks on this subject of moral impurity. May we ask ourselves, Lord, where are those little areas in my life that need to be made right, that need to be have the searchlight turned on it? Let me identify it and repent of it and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for His victory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, we see in our hearts and lives, in our past experiences, decisions that have been made, oftentimes without thought, without prayer, without guidance from Your word. Lord, perhaps there are some here in this auditorium that haven't opened up the word of God in weeks, literally, except in church. Just keep the word of God on a shelf, in the trunk of a car, on a coffee table. But when it really comes to seeking Your face daily with every single decision, Lord, the inroad for the flesh is there. Lord, I pray for young people or young adults, married couples that are facing the temptation of the battle of the flesh, tempted at work. Father, may they strengthen the inner man of the heart. And Father, may we truly see the need of making You the Lord of our lives. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be some here this morning that are facing some very, very grave testings of your heart. And your response is going to determine the outcome. Are you going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? We heard in Holly's hymn that the devil wants to devour us. And you can be unprotected without the armor of God. But are you willing to do what God would have you to do and follow Him? I'm wondering how many here would say, Pastor John, as God is my strength, I want to walk with God daily and guard my heart that I might stand for Him, not allow the inroads of corruption, the silent destruction of the dry rot of sin to enter into my life. That's my commitment before God. Let me see your hands. Pray for me. Yes, God bless you. I'm going to pray in a few minutes for every single home. I'm going to pray for every single head of the home. I know that you men at work are facing a lot of temptation. You ladies, the devil's been attacking women like he never has in many ways before, especially you ladies in the workplace. Now I'm going to pray that God's Spirit will overshadow and encircle every single home, every single individual. I'm going to pray for teenagers that God will keep you pure until marriage, that you'll not enter into any sexual, physical relationship until God sanctions it through marriage, that you'll find God's perfect will, that you'll go on and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray also for those here that perhaps have entered into some unholy relationships. I want to challenge you with the truth that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray for each and every need that we've mentioned here this morning. Lord, there's several that have raised their hand and said, Lord, I need your daily protection. I draw myself close to you and ask, Lord, that you'd keep me as a vessel fit for your use, that I might be the man, God's man in my home. I pray for every man here at the workplace. Lord, there are so many temptations and inroads, so many avenues where they can fall into sin. Lord, build a hedge of protection around them and upon our ladies in the workplace and at home, and upon our teenagers and young couples. Father, may they draw close to you and allow you to be the Lord of their lives in this matter of spiritual battle. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of music that has so accentuated this battle that is taking place. And Lord, may we light the shine in darkness and find our victory in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.